Good morning, family. Let's all stand to our feet together. Boast in the Lord. Let's sing together.
What wonder, what wonders, what love is this, that Christ would die for me? His goodness is buried, his righteousness, the sinners all leave me. Oh, foolish pride, be crucified, the word.
I'm going to invite you to sit down as we are going to celebrate a baptism this morning. Praise the Lord.
Well, good morning, Berry Hall. Excited to join you from the baptismal pool this morning. We're grateful to have a wonderful, special moment with our new friend Sean Skirto today. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us such a beautiful picture in the waters of baptism of what he does in the hearts and the lives of people? So just to remind you, if you're here for the first time, you're not normally here when we do baptism. This is a special, very special day for us. I told Sean that he didn't have to worry because while all eyes are on him, our eyes are really on Jesus Christ who did this work in his life. So he, like so many that come in here, there's a little bit of nerves, there's a little bit of emotions. This is going to be a special time, and so we're just excited, delighted to have all of you with us to celebrate. And so I'm going to ask my friend Sean to come in, and I told him I would fall down and slip on purpose if it made him feel better, but he said no.
Okay, brother. Good close you can to this, and we're going to be good. A little bit more. There you go.
Start?
It's all you, buddy.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sean Skirto. As a young boy, I was introduced to religion and grew up in a loving Christian household. My family and I went to church every Sunday at Parkville Baptist Church, and I have fond memories of going to Sunday school, church, and vacation Bible study there. My mom, my little brother, and I moved when I entered seventh grade, and that's when my journey leading away from God started. From eighth grade to my senior year, I was introduced to horrible bad habits. I was a complete heathen in high school, always up to no good. After I graduated in 1999, I began to head down that wrong road at an even faster pace. Unwedlocked relationships, addiction, cursing, and a whole other heavy bag of sin started to stack up and weigh me down. I was lost and I knew it, but didn't want to fix it. There was always signs that God was watching over me during this time. Fast forward to 2015, and I cleaned my act up. I got the help and the support I needed from my wonderful wife, and I became sober. I felt like a new person. I had a new outlook on life. I thought being a good person was enough. I had it in my mind that I had seen the darkness and was walking in the light. Little did I know I was only getting started. On my birthday, February 20th, 2023, my grandma passed away. On February 24th, I met Pastor Dave, who is the officiating pastor that came to my grandma's wake and funeral. He said something to us that day that really stuck with me. He said, being a good person with a good heart wasn't enough. I knew exactly what he meant. I thought about what he said for over 2 years, and I knew what needed to be done. I reached out to him, and we began to meet, and I finally mustered up the courage to go back to church. I tell you, I felt like there was a bright spotlight on me that first time back on March 23rd. With lots of friendly people and their words of encouragement, I've came every Sunday since then. I knew in my heart the next step was to get baptized. So here I am, ready to give my heart and soul to Jesus and cleanse myself of sin and walk with God completely day to day. It's always going to be a challenge, that's life, but knowing I have God behind me, I feel like I can conquer anything put in front of me. Thank you to my mom and my late grandma for showing me the right path early in my life. Thank you to my wife and my two kids. Ksenia, I wouldn't be here alive and speaking right now if it wasn't for you. Thank you to you, Pastor Dave, for walking with me on this journey at a pace that I was comfortable with. Lastly, I know this is God's house, but I thank each and every one of you for accepting me into this congregation.
Amen, brother. Amen. It's good stuff. Sean, who do we have with us today over here?
My mom, my son Vinny, and my wife, Ksenia.
We're glad to have them with us today. When Sean and I met 2 years ago, he was in a better place than he had been in many years.
Absolutely.
But like so many people, Sean was banking on being a good person. And something God used that day at his grandmother's funeral ignited a change that God was doing in his heart. And he started walking towards the Lord in a way that he never did. We still laugh because we don't even know how I ended up doing the funeral that day. I didn't know anyone. And that's not a typical funeral home for me to go to. But God in his providence put me there that day, and the Lord used the words of his scriptures to impact Sean's heart. We also laugh because he acted immediately 2 years later.
I know.
It's all good. And I said, why do you do things so fast?
No.
But he finally called, and the Lord allowed us to meet. And in just a few weeks after meeting, Sean, in a very serious way, trusted Christ to be his Lord and Savior. So we celebrate him being a new person today, a new creation. we celebrate him going from being a very good person that had overcome through the help of loved ones his addictions and some of his challenges, and he had become a clean and sober dead person. And yet Christ has now come and made him alive. And so we celebrate that together. And I said to him before he came up, I said, don't be nervous. Everybody in this room, as Pastor Chris always said, this is one of the few times you're in a room where everybody loves you. And so we're grateful for that today. So brother, is it your desire today to say to everybody watching that you are a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yes, it is.
Amen. Is it your desire to now live your life for his glory?
Absolutely. Yes,
amen.
It is.
Amen. Well then, brother, based upon your profession of faith, if you turn sideways here just like that, I'm going to enjoy the privilege of baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Would you stand with us? That was exciting. Praise the Lord. I love hearing stories of life change, and that's what our Lord is in the business of doing. We're going to continue singing, and we're going to make the same declaration that Sean just made, that we trust our God, that he is good, that we can cry out to him, and that he will respond to us.
Praising my risen King and Savior.
So as I was thinking while we were getting ready for service this week, I thought, and the songs always do this, so we always try and string together a theme. If you guys haven't caught on, we do this all the time. But we started with this song, All My Boast Is in Jesus, which was so perfect right before we see Sean into the waters of baptism, that all he is proud of, and we heard it in his testimony, his greatest joy, his following Jesus Christ. And then we sang this song about trusting in God, which I think is great, because right after the big celebration of baptism, there's still a walk with Christ that has to come. And so we're going to go on this journey of walking with Christ. We're going to go on that journey with Sean, but we are all continuing to walk with Christ. And you all know that that journey has ups and downs, and that we want to grow deeper in our trust of our Heavenly Father. And so then we're going to finish this morning with this song that talks about how those who are pursuing, those who are following Christ, are those that the Bible calls blessed. Those who are seeking the Lord are those that the Bible says are blessed people. And so I just, this morning, just as we sing and we close out our time together in worship and we sing this declaration, this prayer, this reminder of scripture, actually, I just want to encourage you that, like, that is our prayer this morning, that we would be those who, as we are continuing on this journey, would be those that our greatest joy would be Jesus Christ, that we would grow in our trust in how we follow him, that through the ups and downs, we would follow and trust and rest in him, and the assurance that the Bible says that as we do, as we walk with the Lord, as we grow in humility, as we grow in our trust and our obedience, that we are blessed, that the Lord will be faithful to what his word says he'll do in our lives. And so that's our encouragement this morning. And I pray this morning that that encouragement would stick with us and that we would continue to grow and pursue and follow our Savior who's faithful to be trusted. Let's worship together.
Blessed are the worn and weary, blessed are the ones who grieve, in every moment unexpected, you are everything. To seek you is to find you, and to know you is to want you, and I want nothing more than you. To see
Let's pray together. Lord, we celebrate this morning what we have seen. Lord, we celebrate how we have been we're excited because we've been encouraged. Lord, we're grateful to come together as a family and to just worship you and see you and restate our trust in you. Lord, I pray that as we go through life, Lord, that the words that we've sung would be encouragements that remind us of the truth of your word, Scripture, that just stick in our heads the way that music is able to do. That we would, years from now, we're singing different songs, Lord, prayerfully together, Lord, that we would still remember some of these lyrics and that they would grow our trust in you, that we'd remember this day as we see our brother in Christ profess his faith in you to everyone, Lord, that that would grow our faith this morning. And Lord, that out of a grown faith, out of an increased excitement and gratitude, out of a fresh wonder for who you are, that we would follow and obey and then share the truth of who you are with others. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we look forward to spending time together as a family. Lord, we look forward to spending time in your word. We pray that you would bless the rest of our morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Kids, you are dismissed. See you guys later. Have a good time at Kids Church.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, worship team. Happy May. Is anybody exhausted yet? May's tough. I think it's tougher than December. Lots of stuff going on, lots of awesome stuff. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. I have a few announcements for you before I go too far. My name is Pastor Chris. I get to serve under Pastor Dave's leadership, and I get to oversee some family ministry efforts here, but mostly I'm your brother in Christ, and love doing life with you. Going to rattle off a couple things when there you go, and then we're going to break into the scripture and pray for Pastor Dave as he gets puts the final preparations on his sermon today. Hey, this Wednesday, May 21st, 6:30 in here, we're having a prayer and worship night, and the theme of the prayer night, be great to have a great turnout. Theme of the prayer night is basically what you just saw leave the room. We have so many camp efforts this summer. Starts off with student life, and then you realize mountaintop, and then finally adventure camp. And these camps are evangelistic in their thrust. And we want to pray on Wednesday night over the combined faithfulness of what will end up being a couple hundred different people who will be involved in these camps, that it will bear fruit. And that it is my conviction, my biblical conviction, that faithfulness yields fruit. And that's God's job. And so I think we're going to have a lot of awesome reports here in a couple of months. So a few songs, the kids will be with us for a little bit, and some prayer time specifically directed at our efforts this summer. So that would really be appreciated. Have a great turnout this week. The block party, which was supposed to be last Wednesday, you may realize, got rescheduled. So not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, May 28th, from 6 to 8, here on site. Face painting, moon bounce. We'll have food. There's some food trucks here. And we just want to get everybody outside and meet a few people that maybe we haven't met before. And Lord, give us good weather, all those kinds of things. And it would be just a really good time to gather. And May will almost be over, and we can almost catch our breath. And then finally, in the spirit of what is making us so busy, between the proms and the championship games and the kindergarten graduations and all the other things that go into it, here in these coming weeks, there are, and for many of you, even the past week, if you look at Facebook, you can't turn Facebook on without seeing somebody graduating right now. So on June 29th, we typically just honor the graduates. And so we want everybody who is hitting a milestone to let us know so that we can celebrate you and lift you up. And so whether it's an associate's degree or bachelor's, a master's, if you're hitting a professional certification, if you're at the end of a phase of training, and I think that applies to so many people in this room, would you please let Lori Rogers know? There's a link in the church newsletter, and that would allow you to submit a picture. So give us a good one, no bad pictures, right? And we'll see your handsome face up there. So I am going to now open up the scriptures. If you would turn to Ephesians with me, we are back in our study of Ephesians. It's been several weeks. Blessed to have Zach Royce bring us a message last week that's very much in keeping with our post-Easter sermons about how Jesus was unpacking the Old Testament, and we saw a powerful picture of that last week. And this week, we turn back to God's plan for the family. What does it look like for faithful people to be living living out, walking with Christ in our homes specifically? And so Ephesians 5, we're going to backtrack a little bit to some of the scripture that we have covered in the past, and then we're going to read through into some new ground in chapter 6. But I'm going to start with chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just rejoice with Sean as, Lord, we're reminded of how good you are to each one of us. Lord, we brought you rags and you dressed us up. We brought you baggage and you took it from us and you carried it for us, Lord, and you did away with it at the cross. Father, it is your hope that we would leave lives that are holy and pleasing to you, that would shout to the world that our homes, our marriages, our children, our relationships with our parents are different. And Lord, we just confess out loud that this is so heavy and complicated for so many of us, as relationships have often become so damaged by the fall. Father, may we see something in your word today that would encourage us. Lord, I pray that you would be with Pastor Dave as he brings the insight that you have given him this week, that the insight that he has asked for this week, that he has prayed over and sweated over. Father, may it his act of faithfulness also bear fruit, as we were talking about before. Father, I pray that if there is any baggage we are currently holding, something we brought into the room, Lord, if we are angry, if we are resentful, if there is a conviction right now that something happened at home that just was less than what you would want, that something that fell short of what you call your people to be, I pray even now in the moment, we would give that over to you, Lord, because you are rich in mercy. You are quick to forgive. You are slow to anger. You are abounding in steadfast love. And that is one of the many reasons that you are our God. And we declare with one spirit, we love you, and it is in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Well, good morning again, Perry Hall family. Good to be with you. We have heard the word read, and we have now had the word prayed for, so I can, so to speak, jump right into where we are today. I hope that we see the perfect transition from Sean's testimony to the message on parenting and children today. We have returned to a very specific portion of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And this specific place, speaking to children and parents. And so it would be wrong for me, I think, to come out of Sean's testimony and not make the connection. So if you'll just bear with me, ad-libbing just a bit here. Sean was raised in a Christian home. His mom, Sharon, is with us today. But he was also impacted greatly by his grandmother, Rita, in his upbringing. And so there's a few things I'd like to make sure we pay attention to. And if you'll just turn your Bibles before we open up Ephesians to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. You will immediately see how important this is as an introduction to where we are today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writing to Timothy, second letter. And 2 Timothy 3 is known, yes, primarily for verses 16 and 17 about all scripture inspired or breathed out by God, verse 16. But I'd like to draw your attention to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verses 14 and 15. Paul to Timothy says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ," Christ Jesus. Folks, this is a beautiful picture on many fronts. But as it relates to Sean, and then by way of introducing this particular mini-series on family, I want you to see that there is a beautiful model that was set both in the scriptures, but also in Sean's life. A godly grandmother and a godly mom. Imperfect, yes. Devoted to their children, knowing Jesus Christ and to know the scriptures. So the first thing that hits me is that Timothy is reminded and encouraged to remember what he learned and where he learned it from. And if Sean was up here today, and I won't make him do that again, he would tell you he learned the scriptures from his grandmother and mother and from a faithful church. In the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we won't go there, 1 Timothy 1:5, we learn that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, played an incredible role in his life. So while grandmother Rita is in heaven, she was the Lois. And while the scripture to Timothy mentions his mom, Eunice, we have a Sharon. And this is a beautiful picture, folks. So that's the first picture. The second thing that hits me is that Sean was a quick learner. It only took you 30 years to figure this out. Now, Sean, most of the things, he's been here faithfully every week since he started this journey. And I would bet Sean will tell you a lot of the stories you've heard before, A lot of the stories you've heard before from Grandma Rita, Mom Sharon. And it's probably coming back to him a little bit. But what's really neat is if Rita and Mom had had their way, Sean would not have taken so long to get life figured out. Sean would not have taken 30 years to come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So parents, please don't miss this. I have to think there's some parents in this room that are praying for your kids. They may be newborns. They may be on their way, as I know of a few in the room. They may already be in teenage years. They may be grown up and adults. And parents, you may be praying for the salvation of your children, maybe even for restoration of a broken relationship. Maybe you just want your kids that are adults and are not walking with the Lord, maybe you're just praying that they would run back to the Lord, right? That's good. Well, I hope you see hope, the hope of a faithful mother and grandmother and years of praying. And in God's perfect timing, those prayers were answered. Praise God. Praise God for that. I hope you all are like excited. This is a beautiful picture of the hope as parents that we can have. Sean's testimony sets us in the right place we want to be, because we're talking about children and parents. Now listen, folks. I did 53 verses from Luke 24 in just 3 weeks. I'm just reminding you of that. 53 verses. Heck, Zach did 18 in 1 week. This is speed racing around here, Zach. We're back to normal today. We're in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. I told Natalie I could finish in 3 to 4 weeks. She fell out of her chair. So today, your sheet, if you have the handout, you have the sheet that says a word to children and a word to parents and a word to all believers. That is the outline, and you were all excited. That is the outline of the series. Today is part one, a word to children. A word, Pastor. You're going to spend an entire sermon on children, a word to children. Most of the children just left the room. There's plenty of children in here. Wait. Everybody is a child. The whole room's filled. We're all children at different stages. Chris always says, on Mother's Day, we always had a mother. Always had a mother. On Father's Day, we all had a father. Well, we're all children. So listen, in the first century, the church had a high view of children because of Christ and his high view of children. But let me see if I can show you something here about kids in the first century. I might need my glasses, so bear with me. It was, that is, the Christian view of children, valuing children. It was a radical change from the callous cruelty which prevailed in the Roman Empire, in which unwanted babies were abandoned. This is the early church. This is when this was written. Babies would be abandoned, unwanted. Those that were weak or deformed would be killed. And even healthy children were regarded by many as a partial nuisance because they inhibited sexual promiscuity and complicated easy divorce. A father in the Roman culture could decide what he wanted to do with his kids, from slavery, sold for slavery, to be a slave in his own home, to be sold into prostitution, or to be killed. So the Bible speaks in a total different way about children. So when we open up Ephesians 6, 1, the first word that catches us, now please, let's see if we could go back and almost envision being there 2,000 years ago in an early church service when Paul's letter would have been read. Please see if we can get this. Paul's letter would have been read to a church congregation, somebody's home, some gathering. It would have been circulated throughout the land, throughout the Lycus Valley. And they would have read it in church. And so Paul would have gotten to chapter 6, and I'm assuming the elders would have already read the letter before it was going to be read in the church. And they may have even been thinking, children? A word to children? But nonetheless, it was in Paul's letter, so they would read it. Now just picture this, folks. The congregation in a culture that did not value children. And yet Paul took the time under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to include three verses directed to the children. So when you're thinking here today, number one, I don't have children. I'm not married. I don't have children. Number two, I'm not even the age of having children. I'm young. I'm not even thinking about it. Or your children are gone, or maybe you did not have the privilege or the opportunity to have children. Maybe you've lost children. And so all of those thoughts may be running through your mind, and yet we come to this place that God in his sovereign plan has a passage that is really a word directly to the children. In other words, this is not a message for parents to say, although we teach it. It was literally a message to the children. He addresses the children, which tells us something about the children he's speaking to. They are at least old enough to discern the message, number one. Old enough to understand the message, and then it would have covered everybody because we're all called to honor our father and mother. So now let's look at Ephesians 6, part 1. Chris just read, I'll just read the first verse here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, could I just throw out one or two disclaimers? Number one, Zach doesn't appreciate this the way he should, but this could have been the message he should have spoken last week. But they've got 31 kids, and they're all young, and I wanted to make sure that he's gotten a little bit more years and that he could say, yeah, we've done it right. But not yet, brother, not yet. Whereas me, we're down the road, and we know we haven't always gotten it right. That's just a joke between me and Zach. Disclaimer number one, Cindy and I have not always gotten it right. Duh. Number two, we have not always trained right. We have not always disciplined right. We have not always nourished right. We have not always educated right. That's disclaimer number one. Word number two, because there is a heavy weight on me as it would be on Chris. My kids are still a work in progress. It's amazing there's been no amens yet when everybody is in the same boat. They're still on a journey. Many of my kids, and I know that's funny to speak that way, several of my kids are in a wonderful place with the Lord, and a couple are still in that journey, on that road. And Sean, that's one of the reasons I'm loving your testimony of the Lord's faithfulness after many years. But children, now, this would have been read to the congregation. They get done chapter 5, talking about marriages. Now they go to chapter 6. There was no chapter. They're just reading the letter, just like I would read a letter here. And they say, children, children. And it included specifically the kids, the teenagers, the young adults, but even those that are called to honor their parents. And the first, we're just going to cover three or four pieces here. The first thing that Paul gives is a moral principle. a moral principle. Number one, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For it is right. It's just right. It's the moral principle, in church, out of church, universal principle. Children, listen, children, obey. And by the way, I'm intending for all ears to hear this word to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're talking about Christian families. For it is right, it is just, it is righteous, it is fitting. It is universally true. Now, folks, you're smart people. What is at least a major part of the decline of any society? Families, the family unit. Sin first. But what goes on in the home? And part of that we'll get to next week in the parenting side of things. Notice I'm not speaking to parents. I'm speaking to children today. It's how children obey their parents. Now, flip back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want you to see where Paul places both the significance of obedience or disobedience, but at the level of severity in its judgment. First chapter of Romans, verse 29. Romans 1, 29. We'll even begin with 28. And they, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, that's a good word for what is right, fitting, just, holy, righteous. It's just right. It's folks, it's part of the natural order. The children obey their parents. Parents bring them into the world, and I don't mean we should go as far as to say, like some fathers, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. That's not what the Bible's talking about. But there is something to be said for we bring kids through God's grace into the world. And so the right thing to do is those children obey the provider, the protector, the God-appointed authority in their lives. Look at verse 28, continue. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what not ought to be done. Gave them up to a debased mind. In other words, man, apart from God, has been abandoned to do what they want to do. Verse 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. This is society now, folks. Then now, evil, covetous, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty. This is some list. Boastful, inventors of evil. Now listen, disobedient to parents. How'd that make it into the list? Doesn't seem fitting, because in the order of things, God ordained that children would obey their parents because it would be right. One more example of that and the seriousness which God places upon it. 2 Timothy 3. We've been there once. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Paul again. Later in the chapter, we've just seen the positives. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we see this. Paul to Timothy, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive. Get ready. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, and so forth. So let's stop there before I say anything else on that one. The first principle that Paul says to children, Obey your parents because it's right. It's a moral principle. Number two, back to Ephesians 6:2. Ephesians 6:2. Not only is it a moral principle and a universal principle, it is part of the natural order, but verse 2 then makes it a biblical principle. A biblical principle. First one was a moral principle. Here we have a biblical principle. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is a quote from Exodus 20:12. This is the first commandment with a promise. Quote, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And that is coming from directly from the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. This idea that the last days with all the sins will include children will be disobedient to their parents. With all the sins in Romans 1 that are listed, cataloged as a description of a declining society morally disobedient to children. When the Lord gave these commandments, the first 10 commandments, the 10 commandments, and he goes on to express the application in Genesis, in Exodus 21 and 22, 23, 24. He actually says there, now hold on to your seatbelt here, folks, that children that curse or hit their parents face the death penalty. Did you know that's in the Bible? Kids who curse, strike their parent, and then in Leviticus 29, Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21, it talks about rebellious children facing the death penalty. Now, please don't take that out of context. It wasn't like this. It is a process, but it was prescribed. Because this commandment is so important. So now let's get the context right. Within the context of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, children, obey your parents, for it is right in the Lord, and it comes with a promise that you will be well and you'll live long in the land. Think of Israel as a whole people. And they're called to holiness, they're called to godliness, they're called to obedience. And the principle says that one of the ways that the holiness is demonstrated, one of the ways that the holiness is on display is how children honor and respect their parents. So the biblical principle was clear. Israel, as God's people, honor, think guys of some other words, respect, revere, value, esteem. Israel, if you do that, it's going to go well for you. You're going to be long in the land if you're that kind of people. Well, they weren't. And they weren't as long in the land as they would like. That's the original context. But Paul uses this to speak directly to children. And he says, children, not only is it a moral principle that all people must follow, it is a biblical principle. And that biblical principle is honor your father and mother. Respect them. Children, listen. If you're still at home, listen clearly. You have a calling. You have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to obey and to respect and to honor and to revere and to esteem and to value your parents. Kids that are disrespectful, kids that by practice, kids that dishonor their parents by not listening and on and all those things, that is not honoring to the Lord. Children, as you honor the Lord, you do that as you honor Christ. So there's a universal principle and there's a biblical principle, and it's founded in God's word. Now, before we go any farther, let me say it this way. Chris read all of Ephesians 5:22 to verse 9 of chapter 6. That was intentional. That's because this is the part of Paul's writing of the book of Ephesians where he is given specific relational scenarios of how the rest of the book of Ephesians has been laid out, how what it's been teaching us. The first three chapters have been teaching us who we are in Christ. The first three chapters talk about our beliefs, our doctrine, our principles, our truth. Chapters 4 through 6 talk about our behaviors, our practices, our application of the truth, our behavior. And in the middle of this second section of Ephesians, chapter 4 through 6, Paul has started in chapter 5 to let the church know that this is a walk. Remember that? It's a worthy walk. And that walk is worthy, and it's unified, and it's a walk in love and light and wisdom. But all the way back in chapter 5, verse 18, listen to this, folks. This is so good. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And in that command and in that gift of the Spirit and in that work of the Spirit in us as he fills us, as we surrender and the Spirit controls us, do you remember what the results of that Spirit filling were? That we would sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and that we would make melody in our hearts to the Lord, and that we would give thanks always and in everything. And the fourth result of the Spirit's filling control was that we would be submissive to one another. So that led us up to what Chris read. Spirit-filled life of Christians who've been made alive, who were once dead, who are now in Christ and very much alive, have been made new creations. We are his masterpieces, created for good works, that he would fill all in all, and that we would be filled with him, and him in us, and us in him. We would be Spirit-filled, controlled by the Spirit. And then Paul goes to that idea of submitting one to another. And under that submitting one to another, he gives three specific areas of life: marriages, homes and family, and work. And I love this, folks. Pastor, can't you just preach topically? What other topics would be more relevant than marriage, family, relationships, work? And in a couple weeks, I'm going to do what Zach kind of finished with, a statement that said something to the effect, hey guys, in the story of Abraham and Isaac, I think there's something bigger. It's bigger than what we're thinking. Well, so is marriage, child rearing, and workplace faithfulness. So that's the reason the context makes so much, it's so critical to our understanding here, because Paul was building an argument, if you will, that the spirit-filled life as it relates to the spheres of relationship starts with a husband and wife that are running after Christ, and the wife is submitting to the husband and loving the husband the way that God has called us to, and loving Christ the way that she's called to do, and the way she loves her husband is simply an outworking of the way she loves Christ, and the husband is called to love his wife and to respect her and to nourish her. See how Paul is building this all? Now he moves into the family. And still in this same section of Spirit-filled living, worthy walk, the new life, he's given these words to children. Children, it is right. That's the moral principle. Children is a biblical principle. It's founded in the Ten Commandments. And by the way, I want you to hear, this is a reminder of the incredibly critical import of the Ten Commandments, even for the new covenant living of the church. So back to the verses. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And here's the promise. So it's not only a moral principle, it's not only a biblical principle from Exodus, but it's also a promise principle. God has said for children to obey the Lord because it's right. Children obey the Lord because it's commanded. Children obey your parents because there's a promise. And Paul now applies this to all of life. And please don't jump on that bandwagon that says, Pastor, it says they will do well and they'll have long life. What about children that don't have long lives? This is not an absolute statement that if you're a believer running after the Lord, you'll live long on the earth. That was a promise, long on the earth, in the land. This is a general promise that kids that obey their parents and honor Jesus and love Jesus so much, they live that way in front of their family, then that general promise is that they will be blessed. And that is so true. And yet we have seen from two verses how much that affects the decline of society. So we have a principle that is moral, that is right. We have a principle that is biblical, that is, it's commanded to honor your parents. And we have a biblical principle that there's a promise that was made. And Paul relates that even in a modern day application. Last one. Matter of fact, let's turn to the corollary passage in Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 20. Another letter that would have been read in church. Another verse directed directly to children. Children, obey your parents in everything. Remember, Paul says to the Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It is not only a moral principle, it is not only a biblical principle, it is not only a promise principle, but it is a glorifying God principle. Children obeying their parents brings glory to God. Yes, happiness to the parents, but it brings glory to God. Somebody once said parenting is half part joy and half part guerrilla warfare. And I've seen some of your kids, so. Where's Kenny? No, never mind. This entire church family, by the way, loves Ken Mike, don't we? Man, what a joy to have that family and that young fellow with us. Pleasing principle. Children. Sounds like Barnum and Bailey Circus, get ready. Children of all ages, obedience to parents, moral principle. Honoring parents, biblical principle. Living a life well and blessed is a promise principle. But oh, it's better than that. Children, obey your parents because it's a God-honoring and God-glorifying principle. It pleases the Lord. Let's remember when we did parents. When we did marriage, I asked a question. It came out of R. Kent Hughes' book on Godly Disciplines of a Godly Man. And when we were doing marriage, this is a good reminder, we ask the questions, husbands, is your wife more like Christ because of you or in spite of you? Husbands. I think we could say that if I haven't read his wife's book yet, which is Disciplines of a Godly Woman, but maybe she asked, women, wives, are your husbands more godly, Christ-like because of you or in spite of you? If you don't mind, I'm not that smart, so I'd like to just use the same thing again today. Parents, are your children more like Christ because of you or in spite of you? We've had a difficult morning because at 3 a.m., people get nervous when I get close to the edge. At 3 a.m. today, our sister Teresa Garrett went home to be with the Lord this morning. A dear sister. Our prayers are with Jerry. Our celebration is with Teresa. And I love to think about Teresa no longer wondering what it's like to see Jesus. But she gets to see him face to face. All good for Teresa. for Brother Jerry, as for Brother Jerry and Brother Rick and others, that's a difficult stretch. We celebrate for our loved ones. We grieve their passing. That happened this morning, and we're going to wrap our arms around Brother Jerry. But we also had another, and listen, there's so many names on the prayer sheet. I'm thinking of Mark Thayer's journey, and keep him in prayer as he's going to go in for a CT scan on Tuesday, I believe. We want to pray for him that it's all clear. I see my friend Jim Bannister in the back, and he's going through this difficult season. By the way, brother, love seeing how the Lord has prepared you for that journey. Dina. But Bemi has been in the hospital this weekend. Bemi Adeyemo. Bemi Adeyemo. And I had a chance to spend some time. So Bemi had a surgery a week plus two ago, and it was difficult. But she was home this week, and she was struggling with severe chest pains. It was really hurting her. So they did finally call at Yemi's dad, husband. Now, let's see. I'm going to do it real quick. Bemi and Yemi. And the children are Timmy, and Tammy. If you can answer that back to me, you get something. But they decided to call the ambulance. The ambulance came, and they said, "Do you want us to take you or not?" And Bemi's like, Folks, in the providence of God, it became very clear that had Bemi not said yes, she would not be here today. It was that serious. She had developed multiple blood clots in her lungs. She gets to the hospital. I'm visiting with her. She says, "Pastor Dave, I was real discouraged. I was real discouraged, all this." And she said, a nurse came in and read Romans 15:13 to me. It's about hope. It's about hope. She said it changed everything. Listen to what Bemi said. "I then realized I was here today in the hospital, loaded up with lung blood clots in my lungs, so that I could meet this nurse. And God had a word for me." She said, "I'm so glad I'm here." That's pretty cool in itself, right? But how does that relate to the message? Bemi says to me, "Pastor," and she's describing the day that she finally called the ambulance. She says, "I wake those kids up at 6 a.m. every day." Catch this, parents. "I wake them up 6 a.m. every day for family devotions." I didn't know whether to flip out or feel depressed. We tried to just wake the kids up before lunch. Now they have kids and God is getting them back. She says, 6 o'clock. I said, "Bemi, what do you do at 6 o'clock? "We have devotions." I said, "Wow." And then a little later, she said, "We finish at 8:30. I said, "Woman, you've lost your mind." Fortunately, that day, they didn't get up till 7:30. I felt so much better. But here's what she said. She's listening. Hi, Bemi. They're watching right from the hospital. Hi, Bemi. And I did get permission. Chris, we got to get permission. You never know how we're going to get in trouble for anything. And Bemi says, "Well, Pastor, this is so good. Talk about parenting. These kids are soldiers in the Lord's army. We can sleep later. We've got things to do." Boy, that's pretty good, isn't it? She says, we can sleep anytime. She says, "They go to their room at 9. They can stay up as late as they want, or they go to bed, but what they do know, they're getting up at 6. They wake up tired." She says, "That's on you, not me. You went to bed at 9. You want to stay up to midnight? Getting up at 6 is tough. But listen, kids, time is flying by," she says. "And we are called by God, kids, to serve the Lord of the universe. And we don't have time to sleep." Let's start our parenting class with that one. Chris, you can add this to your parenting. So guys, as we come to a close for today, I just want to tell you that this is just an overview of this incredible principle of parenting and children. Pastor Chris and Suzanne teach a class here periodically, Biblical Blueprint for Parenting. And they use some principles from what Cindy and I took, growing kids God's way, which Cindy and I took in 19, when we were getting married, and we went through that course. And yet we still kept going, Chris. I just want you to know we still had kids. So Chris and Suzanne, it's a wonderful class. People that have been in it have been blessed. They give you all the details of what I'm saying on this parenting. But just for kids today, folks, there is a moral principle. Obey your parents because it's right. Kids, God's word commands it. So to not do it is disobedience to the Lord. It's a biblical principle. It is also a promise principle because God blesses obedience, parents and children. And it's a God-glorifying principle because it pleases the Lord. One last thought. Somebody got on me last week and said, two weeks ago, and said, I said in closing three times. I don't know why you can't have three parts to the close, but that's another story. If you already have raised your kids, you don't have kids, no matter what, but you have parents, that the principles that I just gave matter to you adult children of senior parents. We could spend an entire message on what does it look like for adult children to honor their mom and dad as they get older. Even how do I honor my mom and dad in their passing and beyond. You're not off the hook if you have an empty nest. Situation may have changed. And kids, if you just got married and your first thought is, I'm no longer have to listen to my parents. You do have to honor them. Better yet, you get to honor and respect them. Praise God for that. May this church be characterized as a church where children love their parents and the Lord so much they obey and honor them. Next week, we'll talk about the parents' part. But may this church be a place where the gray-haired folks among us are also honored and respected and revered and esteemed. And then this week, may you answer the question, are my kids more like Jesus because of me or in spite of me? And I know I'm leaving a lot out. And I don't know if they're ready or not, so let me do one more thing. I know. There is a priority here, folks. There is a priority. Make this the application. Just have fun. The priority is, oh, that our kids know Christ. The priority, now, when you have a priority, Mark Thayer taught me this, it really can only be one priority, it seems. The priority, lots of important things. The priority is not academics, sports, college, careers, wealth, all blessings, all good and godly things in appropriate ways, right? They're all important. Nobody's saying that. The priority, parents, is do your kids know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? And you don't get to do that. He does that. And he gives you transforming grace to be the instruments of his work in your kids' hearts. Shouldn't I say that again? It's his work, but you get the privilege to be used by his transforming grace to be instruments in the lives of your kids. Listen, your number one goal is not to raise successful kids. Your number one goal is that they would know and love Jesus. That's it, right? And so the question is, are the priorities of your schedule in line with that priority? And we're out of whack in America. I'm getting rolling now. You there? So priority, your kids know Christ. The prayer, oh Lord, in spite of me, but because of you, may my kids either fall in love for the first time or again and again with Jesus. That's my prayer. And thirdly, the pattern, not only the priority, but the pattern, the prayer. And the pattern is, do our kids see a mom and a dad who obey the Lord because it's right? Do our kids see a mom and a dad that believe the principle, obey the principle of honoring their parents? And do they see a pattern of parents that are living in God-glorifying way that he's pleased? Commercial. I don't make any money off of it. Parents, we have this for you. 5 things to pray for your children. 5 things to pray for your children. I heartily recommend you get a copy of this outside at our book table. Our worship team's ready. Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you for your message to children today. Thank you for speaking in your word directly to children. And Father, this is an area of your word that is important, critical for everyone in this room. Because in the bigger picture, Father, we are your children. Father, may we raise up another generation, not like in Joshua's day, another generation that did not know God, but may we raise a generation that knows God and loves him. And Father, may this generation live in such a way of pleasing you that you are glorified. Oh, Father, wrap your arms of protection and provision around Perry Hall Baptist Church. Father, change our direct trajectory where necessary. May we not only continue, but increase in raising another godly generation that makes the fame of Christ spread throughout the land. And may our gospel preaching of the life and death and the resurrection and ascension and reign of Christ be on our words often in our homes, so that we would then shoot out godly areas into a society in desperate need of biblical wisdom in the gospel. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.
Take this
grace that has allowed us to hear from you, grace that allows us to see you, even after a 30-year journey you open up eyes. And Father, not only for the grace to hear you and to believe what we hear, to see you and to know you, but Father, we pray for the grace to love you more and more. Father, we today are a hungry and thirsty people. Father, would you nourish us with your Spirit? Father, will you feed us with your word? May we drink from you so that we would be changed to be more like Christ. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful week, folks.